Hello, Louise. Good morning.
Morning, Gavin. How are you?
Yeah, I'm fine. Thank you. We're just carrying on here. And, of course, I guess that's all we can do, isn't it? Just carry on within the rules and within the regulations.
Exactly. We need to hold the line and hold fast because everyone's done an amazing job so far. And, the figures coming out are looking optimistic, but it's a long journey, this. And they keep saying it's a marathon, not a sprint. So we just need to... keep on doing what we're doing, and we'll all be okay in the end.
Yeah,
there's still a way to go, yeah.
But of course, each day takes us one step closer to the end, doesn't it?
It does, yeah, it does. And there is, at the end of the tunnel, there is a light, and I'm not sure we can quite see that yet, but I'm hopeful that in the next week or so, we'll be able to see that bit of glimmer at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, because of course next Thursday is the latest sort of review into the lockdown, and that will have will be well into week 7 by then, won't we?
Yeah, I know, but hasn't it gone quickly though? I'm amazed that we've, we are where we are, really.
Yeah, in some ways it has. I suppose the whole period seems to have gone quite quickly, but sometimes individual days do go on for ages, don't they?
Yeah, I know, and the weather's a bit gloomy today, so I think they'll probably seem to drag out a little bit longer.
Totally. So, I suppose if you're busy, the more busy you are, the quicker the time goes. And, of course, you're running Cheshire West and Chester Council, so you've got a fair bit on. And, financial pressures were acute before this crisis.
Yeah.
They're even more so now, aren't they?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, over the last 10 years, we've had sort of unprecedented cuts to the public purse, which includes council budgets. And we've had about $320 million sort of reduction over the last 10 years. That there was a little glimmer of hope in this budget, but we still had sort of cost pressures for this current year. Mm. But we've really thrown ourselves into protecting our residents in the borough, and that's sort of added to the pressures. And we're great. It's great that the government have given us money to cover that, but it's not enough. And even with the latest sort of round of announcements, if you add everything up, including not just what it's cost us, but what we're losing in terms of revenue as well, it's not going to be enough to cover our costs. So there's a big sort of national outcry from the local government association to get councils properly funded.
Okay, so a couple of things. So first of all, you said £320 million has been cut over the last 10 years. Can you put that in some sort of a context? I mean, what would that buy?
Oh, I don't know what it would buy, but if you look at things in terms of reduction to services and what we're providing 10 years ago, so we've halved the workforce for a start, and there's lots of other sort of areas that I can't really sort of reel them off the top of my head, but each year we've had to make extra pressures to reduce, and a lot of it has been, and people say, well, you haven't cut any staff, but we have. We're sort of down to the bare minimum, and I think what's come out of this is the cuts to the public health budget, so things like smoking cessation, drugs and alcohol support, and that has been a reduction in staff. And actually this is a public health crisis, and so our public health team, who are at the forefront of leading on this, have really taken a cut in terms of capacity. So it's those sort of things that really, when you come to a national crisis, you can really notice. But the officers have been amazing and have stepped up and done what they do all the time. They're public servants, and they've gone out there at the forefront of leading this regimented attack against the virus.
So you mentioned sort of the reduction in your budget over the last 10 years, but also now you've got a reduction in income because many people are taking advantage of a sort of a payment freeze on council tax for obvious reasons.
Yeah, there's lots of reduction if you actually sit down and go through it. Also, even things like parking, park and ride, planning. There's not as many planning applications. We get fees from that. Some of the rental income from some of our properties, the regeneration projects. So there's actually quite a long list of things where we get income coming into the council that's just stopped.
Right.
So it's sort of balancing that between what we're spending on this, which isn't enough at the moment. We were given initially £9 million, which we've more than spent. So we've gone way over that.
Okay. So hence you're asking for some more. Where are your immediate priorities for spend within the council?
So obviously adult social care has got huge pressures at the moment, as you can imagine. Increased numbers of people going into adult social care, making sure that all the staff working within there are paid properly. All the PPE that we're getting, we're continuing to purchase more PPE, and we don't just want to have enough to last a week. We want to make sure that we've got enough to sort of see this out. So we're putting considerable amount of money into purchasing more PPE. It's all the work around supporting the food hub that we set up in Ellesmere Port, where we're delivering food parcels across the borough, and we're back purchasing the food as well to make sure that people are being fed. So it's all those sorts of areas that are costing the money. We're also doing some leaflet drops as well. So everybody across the borough will be getting some information about where they can go for support. And we've got community initiatives that we're funding and supporting. So
okay, so there's a lot happening, isn't there?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
How much money would you say you need, and how hopeful are you of getting it?
All right. Well, if I really wanted to, all that £320 million that's been cut, we'd have that back.
Well, they've already given you nine, so they only owe you £311 million.
Yeah, there you go. We need to. But if you look at the amount that was taken from adult social care, I think, you know, overall we've had sort of like, I think it's 70p given back for somewhere like £7 or something, like if you put it in that sort of context. So it's to make sure adult social care funded properly, so that people can get a decent wage and that it's comparable to nursing, you know, and healthcare professionals. They are healthcare professionals, but it's the real Cinderella service.
Yeah.
So that really does need a huge amount of money injecting into it, so it can be funded properly and people can be looked after with dignity, and which they are now. But I just think it's the staff working in social care, they need a huge shout out for the work that they're doing.
And are you hopeful you're going to get the money you need from the government in the next couple of weeks?
I'm always hopeful. I think you need to live in hope that these things will happen, and we'll continue the campaign to make sure that we do get fully reimbursed for what we're spending.
Okay. Well, we'll take a break and we'll pop a song and give you a chance to have a slurp of tea, and then we'll come back.
Thank you.
And we'll talk in a moment after the next song about celebrations in Chester to mark the 75th anniversary of VE Day, which is next Friday, of course. We've spoken about the hard-hitting stuff, the money, the finances, the services you need to provide. We've got a couple of nice-to-talk-about items now. First of all is Chester's plans to celebrate the 75th anniversary of VE Day, which is a week on Friday. And, of course, there were loads of plans for big civic events, weren't there?
Yeah, and just when this sort of started, we were sort of doing our final planning and hopefully would have put out, information about what was going to be happening. And we've had to change all of that, but we still carried on planning because it's really important that we do remember this very important day. So we've had to be creative, really, in terms of how we can mark it in Cheshire West. And I know the press release went out, I think, yesterday with some of our initial ideas about what's going to happen, but there'll be another one towards the end of the week because we've got some other surprises coming up as well, which I'm not going to say about now. But this is, very exciting.
Yes, that's a big ooh.
So I think the big thing is that it's a civic event that's been was going to happen, and we've pre-recorded it with the Lord Mayor, Councillor Bob Rudd, who's the chair of the council. And the cathedral. So there will be this civic event, and we had a competition for Key Stage 2 children to write some poems about how they thought it would be like for children in 1945. So the winning entries will be read. So that will be a big reveal about who's won at the poetry competition. And then we're going to be decorating the town hall with union flags, and lighting it up in red, white and blue. And then there's going to be the ringing out for peace, I think it's at 7 o'clock on the 8th, which the cathedral will be doing. And then we're asking everyone to raise a toast, I think it's at 3 o'clock on the 8th of May, which apparently there's going to be a national toast to the heroes of World War Two.
Yes, I've heard that 3 p.m. is a key time for that on that day.
Yeah, and then we've got some events and things with our museums and libraries, and we'll put some information out about that later in the week.
Okay.
And people might want to get their singing voices into practice. So, yeah, there might be something else as well happening.
All right, okay. Well, that all sounds, the bits you've told us about sound exciting, the other bits sound mysterious. We look forward to finding out more later in the week. You said the civic event featuring the school children and so on is going online. Whereabouts will we have to go to watch that on the 8th?
It will be on the Cheshire West website.
Right.
And it's going to be, I think, in the second press release that comes out, we'll put more details of that, but it will be on a rolling basis. So it will be available to watch. So people can don't have to go at ACE. I mean, obviously, it will be the first one that comes out. But then after that, it will be available for people to watch whenever they're they want to. And it will be there for a while.
Great.
Because obviously, the stuff that we wanted to do, we'll have to now wait. I mean, it's probably going to be Victory in Japan Day, which I think is November, isn't it? But then there's the Victory in Europe Day in August. So we'll just have to wait and see what happens. But we'll there'll be something else later in the year as well.
Yeah, it's a real shame that the 75th anniversary of VE Day is so marred by this crisis, so we can't actually get out and mingle with people and celebrate in that way. But do you know what? Somehow, the fact that we're mired in this crisis now maybe connects us in some way to how people would have been feeling immediately before VE Day in 1945.
Yeah, exactly. So we're encouraging people as well to celebrate in their homes. So people can, decorate their houses in red, white and blue. They've got red, white and blue paint or whatever, material and stuff like that, and have a little party in their homes. But you're right that, that the country was at war for 5 years, and it would have been very similar to this for that amount of time.
I've seen something going around on Twitter with people not 100% sure if they're allowed, if the weather's fine, to celebrate in their own front gardens with other people in their front gardens doing the same thing. Is that something that's going to be encouraged or frowned upon?
Well, I think as long as people aren't going out in the street, if people are keeping their social distancing, people are allowed to go out in their own gardens. But some of the things I've seen is it's not about passing things over hedges or fences and stuff like that. But we'll issue some clearer guidance, I think, because there is confusion.
Mm.
As long as people aren't hugging and getting within 2 meters of each other, if you're sitting in front of your house, in your own property, not in the street. I think it's once you get in the street that it causes the problems.
Yeah.
And particularly if people are trying to get past and stuff like that.
So if we're sitting in our front gardens Friday afternoon drinking, shouting across to our neighbours, whereas normally we'd be really common and irritating, we'll be heroes.
Yeah, and it's a week on Friday, so don't practice it this Friday.
Let's just finish, Louise, by talking about Inspire Cheshire West, which is a new initiative that you have launched.
Yeah. So this, we thought it was we needed to celebrate all the fantastic work that's going on in our communities, in our neighbourhoods, with people helping each other during this crisis, and we wanted somewhere to celebrate it. So it's a new interactive platform where you can log on and put all your pictures, your stories, maybe say thank you to people that helped you. If you've been clapping for carers and you've got videos of that, if you've done banners outside your house for the NHS. So it's a place where people can come together and share, because we can't go and share in the streets with people about what we're doing. So it's about inspiring people and saying thank you, because we should all be proud of ourselves for the work that we've done in supporting each other. The community's really come together, and you couldn't have hoped for a better community than the one that we got in Chester and in the wider borough. It's been absolutely fantastic, and this is about celebrating it.
Okay.
So I'd encourage everyone to go to the website. So it's the CheshireWestandChester.gov.uk/inspire-listen.
Okay, and this will actually provide, as well as giving us all a boost now and an opportunity to share ideas, it will also become a sort of an online collection, almost an anthology of yeah. how we got through this, which will be of value to future historians, some of which may not have even been born yet.
Exactly, it's a living history, and I think, you know, we'll all want to, once we've got through this in a few years' time, when we're sort of reflecting on it, I mean, hopefully before a few years' time, but when we all go back and look at what happened, it's living, it's history in the making now, and that's what's really fascinating about this. And I know we'll be working closely with our archives and our museums and things, because this will all be on display in the future for
it
children
will.
That aren't yet born.
Absolutely.
To come and see how their great-grandparents coped in the great pandemic
of 2020. Great-grandparents, that's us, heck. Wow. Lovely to talk to you as ever, Councillor Louise Gittins. Thank you
very much
indeed for your time.
Yeah, and everyone stay safe.
Yes, and to you and yours. Thank you
very much.
Bye. Bye-bye now. As Councillor Louise Gittins, the leader of Cheshire West and Chester Council.